NBC News brings you a Republican Convention special report presented by the Gulf Oil Corporation and more than 30,000 Gulf dealers. This is Peter Hackus at Convention Central, San Francisco. General Dwight Eisenhower has just begun a news conference. We switch to the St. Francis Hotel.
And in reporting, I don't know. But the interpretation was that I had pulled the rug out from under, I forget whether it was General Scranton or Governor Goldwater. I mean, well, that was a little bit of a pull, wasn't it? In any event, there's where it stands, and I can't see any possible misinterpretation of my meaning, either when I spoke to Secretary Gates or when I spoke over in response to a question over the network. Now, if that flap is settled to your satisfaction, why, I'll go to questions first.
Sir, on that point, maybe this will flap it a little again. Do you think it is desirable to have such a statement in the platform?
I have no feeling of my own. It is a reaffirmation of a truth, and if someone wanted it, I certainly wouldn't object strenuously. On the other hand, I wouldn't fight very hard to get it in, personally. Now, I'm talking personal conviction, because it is exactly the statement of the president's not only authority, but responsibility.
Do you think, sir, that the platform should contain a criticism of extremist groups, and specifically the John Birch Society?
Well, I don't believe to. I think I've made this clear often before bodies of this kind. I do not believe in condemning any group by specific names. I do deplore extremism in all human affairs, except in the two fields of morals and exact science. The extremists are always wrong. And when it comes to the extremes of the that are found at the far ends of the political spectrum, they are always wrong.
Norman? Do you think that the Birch Society is trying to take control of the structure of the Republican Party, as Governor Scranton charges now?
Madam, I haven't the slightest knowledge about the John Birch Society. There is a man who I am told and who is reported to be its head. He has made many statements that I think are nothing short of character assassination. He's made them against many people, including me. And I think it is far from being a service for the American people. It's destructive of our kind of life, because in the long run, we like to think we're a self-governing people and we use common sense in doing it. But I am not acquainted whatsoever with any tenant of the Birch Society, except that I hear they're against communism. That's just hearsay.
Have you changed your mind, sir, about remaining neutral among the major candidates for the Republican nomination?
I don't know what you should say I'm neutral. I said that 14 months ago I took this position that I thought was necessary in view of the conditions then developing, and to every individual that I spoke who I thought had a chance of becoming a candidate, I made one pledge that if he would get into the list to continue and promote the dialogue that would give us a broad spectrum of Republican thinking, I would applaud him. I would welcome him to that group. I would not support anybody, but I would be against nobody. Now, it's now argued that I could very well change my opinion. After 14 months of saying this to individuals and publicly, I don't see how I can change, and there I am.
Norman Cousins in the Saturday Review last week quoted an interview with you in which you told him that... Norman Cousins of the Saturday Review, in an interview with you, which he wrote for the Saturday Review, quoted you as saying that when you retired from the presidency, you wanted to retire from all influence, that you didn't want to run anybody or anything, anytime, anywhere. Was that quote correct, sir? And is that your position today?
Well, of course, when someone else put in your words in your mouth, you cannot say without reflection they are the exactly correct. Now, this is what I did think. Once having been made emeritus, if not by choice, by the Constitution, it looked to me like all others that gain the title of emeritus, that they should rather be in a consultative basis and an advisory rather than a decisive position, particularly if those decisions would have to be now personal and therefore could create division instead of unity. So I did say something to that effect. I haven't yet achieved it completely, I assure you.
Going back to another flap earlier today on a television program, I understand that you voiced some doubt as to whether the civil rights platform, as it is now drawn up by the Republican Committee, is satisfactory. And I understand that Mel Laird went up and talked to you about it. Could you tell us about the conversation and whether you are satisfied with it?
He came to see me, and the way he explained it to me, it sounded all right, because I did over this same broadcast that I spoke about a few minutes ago. I said that I would personally have liked to have seen the civil rights plank followed by a commitment on the part of the Republican Party to make this thing a moral issue for the party and for each Republican. Indeed, I would like to see each American. The law has been passed. We expect to see it implemented and enforced. And I think that each of us has a moral duty, an ethical and legal duty, to do his best to see that it is enforced without violence, to do so that we can more proudly hold our heads up among the nations and not sound or look like someone that's trying to promote an internecine war. Now, when he came in, and I told that I said that I would have preferred to have seen something like this, he said, I didn't have time because we had a very short interview. He did say that they had that words to that effect, and all that I'd seen was in the newspaper, and that had stopped with law enforcement. He said the moral tone was definitely there, and I said, in that case, I would be very pleased.
Do you think it would serve a useful purpose to have a debate before the convention between Senator Goldwater and Governor Scranton?
Do I think it would make any...
Would it serve a useful purpose?
Oh. Well, this, of course, would be a precedent, and I'm not against precedents, and I'm not particularly for them. But, but I'll tell you this. I think a thing like this could come about only if the two or three people that might be involved, I think there are two or three people at least to be nominated at least. Put it before the convention. They would have to agree, and the convention authorities would have to agree. Then there might be some useful purpose to be served. I don't know. But I think there is provided a great deal of leeway through the television networks, through the press, through all kinds of publicity media, to get a man's views placed before the public. And I don't believe that it would be a decisive influence that would be exerted by having such a debate. Even though, if it was all agreed all the way across, I would have no objection.
Do you support the stand of the present draft of the Republican platform favoring a constitutional amendment for school prayers and other public places?
No, I don't think I do. This is what I believe. I believe that religion should be taught in the public schools, not as a creed, but as its influence on civilization. It'd be idle to suppose that Buddhism or Shintoism or Hinduism or the Muslim religion, the Christian, the Judean religion, all of them have had a great influence on our social order. And I think it would be silly to pretend that there has been no such thing as religion. Now, when we talk about the school prayers and so on, obviously, a prayer would represent something of a personal communication with any individual and his own conception of the Almighty. That probably would violate the First Amendment to the Constitution. But I don't see any reason to worry about that. Our own We're not going to repeal the Declaration of Independence. And don't you remember, it says that we hold that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with a capital C, which means that this whole system of government is based upon some kind of religious belief. And I think to deny it is foolish if we believe in democracy.
It's been said sometimes in the past that the nature of the times determine our choice of president. What kind of man do you think these times demand?
You know something? Some of these delegations, I notice, every once in a while some come up and it says, Kansas passes. Well, Pennsylvania passes this vote. I think
so. General Eisenhower, there's little doubt in anyone's mind, at least that's what most people in the country believe, that your philosophy, your political philosophy, is much closer to that of Governor Scranton's than it is to Senator Goldwater's. But for your own reasons, you have chosen to remain above the battle. And as you also know, you have been severely criticized in the press and other quarters for, as they said, remaining neutral or above the battle. How do you feel, sir, about this criticism?
Well, I sometimes wonder this. These great editorial staffs that can prove that you have let them down and the country and everybody else by adopting and sticking with a thing that 14 months ago looked to be very sensible and proper. They kept silent till suddenly they saw something happening they didn't like. Where was their leadership? What did they do? They're supposed to mold public opinion. But suddenly all they can do now is criticize somebody else for saying and following a policy that is established a long time back. Now, really, this criticism, as many of you people know, some of you have been party to it. I've been subject to criticism since 1941. Anyone that ever has to make decisions or lay out for himself courses of action, whether it's in the military or in the academic or in the political world, is certainly going to get criticism. And if he hasn't got sense enough to take it, read it, see whether it has a real application, and then make improvements in his own conduct if he thinks necessary, or to forget it if he thinks it isn't, well, then he shouldn't be in such a position.
Mr. President, what points of difference, if any, there are between you and Senator Goldwater in foreign policy, and especially in relations to the Soviet Union?
There is a very great misconception of foreign policy and the term in this country. We talk about foreign policy like it were in the singular. This is absolutely nonsense. We do have basic objectives. These basic objectives are commonly understood, and I think they're held by most Republicans. For example, we are dedicated to the pursuit of peace with justice and in freedom. We are committed in the nation to do for our people the things they need to have done, and to do so in such a way as to increase our strength, our moral and spiritual strength, our economic strength, intellectual strength, and our military strength, as long as we need this kind of strength. So, the point at issue is the implementation of these basic, or the methods by which you try to attain these basic objectives. And in this case, I suppose there's no two people in the world that would agree completely, because you will have, at least, certainly they will be, and they're filed. They were filed in my administration, papers laying out policy papers with respect to Iran, to Vietnam, to Italy, to France, to NATO, to CETO, everything that you can think of. These were kept up to date so we could be sure what we would do next year and so on. Now, I would think that the only thing I would like to add to this kind of a 5-minute lecture is this. What we want in our conduct of our foreign affairs, our foreign relations, is to implement all action on the basis of study, gathering together accumulation of all facts, taking them up with your advisors, your very best men that you get around them, and then make up your mind what is the line you shall follow. And the only thing I would add to that would be now the manner in which you do it. There are diplomatic means of doing these things, and sometimes personal diplomacy is included. I do not believe that we should ever unnecessarily wound the feelings of a friend. We can take our relationships with the Soviets, I think, there we can indulge ourselves a little more. With your friends, with your friends, we must always be, just observe the rules of common courtesy, good manners. And that is about all you can say in the generality about foreign policy.
General President, do you believe that the nomination of Senator Goldwater would represent a historic turning point in the course of the Republican Party?
Well, I don't know to what you think we are turning. I would say this. I believe very deeply in the Republican Party as I conceive it to be. And I shall do my best to the days of my end to keep that party thinking and working toward the basic objectives for which I think it now stands. So I do not believe that this would represent, therefore, in my mind, a great historic point. If the party were led into another direction, something that was entirely different from what I now conceived it, well, then I would have to take another look. But the Republican Party, as I understand, is going to command my allegiance as long as I live.
When Barry Goldwater gets a nomination, will you actively campaign for him?
I don't know anything. First of all, no one campaigns actively until he's been invited. And secondly, I haven't any idea how much will be expected of me. I am going by no means to undertake as much as I did in 1962. That was 2 years after I had left the White House, and I was finally called upon to go into 21 states, and I think I made 28 speeches. That's too much for someone who is emeritus and who's getting the number of years that I'm beginning to count. So there will not be any campaign. I will not conduct anything like that. I will try to do my best for the candidate that is named.
General, Senator Goldwater and his adherents say that they plan to wage a campaign on the slogan of a choice, not an echo. That is, they say they're opposed to Me Too Republicanism, as they define it. Do you think that's an adequate basis for waging a campaign in 1964?
Well, I tell you, Mr. Spivak, I don't believe that they're going to do it on that basis. Now, I think they were talking then about a primary campaign for delegates. I think that that they will try to make everybody who disagrees with them to be somewhat on the very bad end of the stick. And so I don't believe that I wouldn't think it possible to bring up those particular slogans in the political campaign itself.
Sir, are you as disturbed as Scranton forces seem to be over the elimination of any reference to you or your administration by name from the first half of the proposed platform? And would you welcome a floor fight on the matter as has been suggested by Senator Scott?
Well, frankly, as I saw this platform laid out, not in the same order, but it conformed largely to what I had myself suggested sometime many months back, that we separate the indictment of the Democrats against from the pledges and promises and the vision we had for the accomplishments of the Republican Party. Now, in the indictment, which it turns out they put in Section 1, I read this part of the document this morning, and my name is not there. Well, that's okay by me. I believe in positive things. I'm not so much interested in the things that the others did badly in the past. So I see that my name, I saw two paragraphs. It seemed it was mentioned three times, and I thought that's quite enough.
Senator Goldwater has been reported as being favorable to let General de Gaulle make his drive towards France's own atom bomb. What is your opinion, sir, on this subject?
He should have a right to make his own atom bomb?
Yes, sir.
Well, of course he has a right to make his own atom bomb. Matter of fact, I think I've made it clear a number of times that I think that our laws, our own laws in this regard, are antiquated. We have been refraining from giving our allies, our respected allies, information for many years that we knew the Soviets had. And I haven't seen the sense to it. Now, I don't believe you can have a good alliance unless you are ready to recognize your partners as equal partners, equal in their moral and intellectual stature, and if not their strength, at least in their rights to, let's say, proper equipment in this case. Do we want to fight a war with we being having only the modern equipment and all the others have Civil War equipment? I think it's a little silly. Now, if General de Gaulle, matter of fact, I wanted to get a law, and so suggested a long time back. That we allowed France to purchase her U-235, but that law was never made. And I think that to say that General de Gaulle has to ask somebody else whether or not he can make his own atom bomb is silly.
In a couple of interviews in the past, I believe you suggested that Senator Goldwater was somewhat impulsive in his comments. Do you feel that way still about him?
Well, you're quoting me, and so I can't remember whether I said this publicly or not, but I'd say this. Well, I'd, I'm sure that'll be misinterpreted. Go ahead. But what I meant was that whether I have been communicating this to other people, I do say this. It's no time for me now to be talking about the particular characteristics of either of these two men or the third one. I'm going to talk about their characteristics now. It's too close to the decision point.
General, you told us on the train coming out from Chicago that you hoped that no matter who the nominee would be, that the entire Republican Party would unite behind him. Assuming that Senator Goldwater is the nominee, if you're not going to actively campaign, what advice might you give him if he asked as to how he should fight the Democratic opposition?
Well, I would again doubt that he would possibly think it necessary to ask me for advice, but I tell you this. I have read this platform as far as I get it from the newspapers and the first section in the actual text. If he operates and campaigns on that platform, I don't see how he can go very far wrong. Now, there's some places that possibly I would want to strengthen it or say something differently. That's always true. It looks to me like a good platform as I've seen it come out in the papers, and I could just say to him, if you'll do that, you can't go far wrong. And I would, if he wanted to go in for personal things, well, then that would be him between him and me about the habit of speech and everything else. That would be between him and me, and I wouldn't make it public even if I did give it to him.
General Eisenhower, may we have your reaction to Senator Goldwater's statement that the Germans would have won the last two world wars if it hadn't been for bad civilian advice?
I talked to Senator Goldwater this morning, and it happened that he brought up that subject and said that it was quoted, whatever he said, was quoted in such a way that it made it appear that he was denigrating the quality of Allied leadership in both two wars, and he meant nothing of that kind. He merely said that at this time, as far as the battle itself was concerned, the generals knew more than Hitler or the Kaiser. Now, if that's all he meant, well, I agree with him very fervently. But because such generals as Kesselring, Rundstedt, Blaskowitz, those men, and Rommel were very capable, fine generals, and they were hamstrung by Hitler. Now, I think that the evidence that the Emperor Wilhelm interfered is not too strong. But if he did, why, Ludendorff was probably a better general than the Kaiser. But, and by the way, the Republicans take Lincoln, and mostly, too, Jefferson, as their patron saints. Lincoln, he didn't interfere with his generals as long as he had rotten generals. But when he got a good general, he let him alone.
Mr. President, for the defense of Europe, do you recommend the NATO commander be authorized to use nuclear tactical weapons?
I thought I made this clear by my opening remarks. The president's decision at any time is going to be a pattern on the conditions of the time, just exactly as today's conditions are completely dissimilar to those of 1942, so will those of 1974 be far different from these. No one can predict today, even a year ahead, what is going to happen. We have a form of government where the president is really responsible for our foreign relations in all kinds, subject only in particular cases where war must be declared. I think you have to trust whoever you elect to that, to get the best to that office, to get the best advice he can, the finest leaders and people he can get around him, and then our fate is in their hands. That's all there is to it.
General, do you believe, sir, that the current split between the conservatives and the moderates will endanger the chances of the party in the fall?
I would give you opinion on that if you can give me concisely a clear definition of a conservative and a moderate, because I don't know it, and I'm not kidding. Now, if you can give me an exact definition of what you mean, why, I'm perfectly ready to try to answer the question. No, okay.
This is Ron Nesson, NBC News, at the General Eisenhower News Conference, just completed. About 30 minutes long, the general spoke. He reiterated again that he intends to remain neutral in the fight for the Republican presidential nomination. He said he is not for or against anybody. He would not come out for Governor Scranton or for Senator Goldwater. He also said he did not consider the platform as proposed for the Republican convention or the probable nomination of Barry Goldwater to be an historic turning point toward extreme conservatism in the Republican Party. He said if he did feel that way, he would speak out, but he is not going to speak out. General Eisenhower was asked about attacks from moderates, that criticism from moderates, that he is not doing enough to help their candidate, Governor Scranton. He reacted to this somewhat angrily, and he asked, where was the leadership among the moderates this past year or 2 years when Goldwater was building strength? He said all they can do now is criticize others, meaning criticize General Eisenhower. The general was asked about a remark attributed to him that he felt Goldwater was somewhat impulsive, and he replied to that, it's no time for me to talk about the characteristics of Goldwater and Scranton. It's too close to the nomination. Asked whether he would campaign for Senator Goldwater if Goldwater is the nominee, the former president said he had not been asked. He would if asked, but did not intend to do as much campaigning as he did during the congressional election campaign of 1962. A number of the questions dealt with the platform fight between the Scranton people and the Goldwater backers. And Eisenhower, former President Eisenhower, commented on three specific planks that are being fought over.
Kroll in San Francisco. Russ, it would seem to me, having listened to General Eisenhower for about half an hour, having him espouse his own causes, such as they were, that the pro-Scranton forces have gone a little bit too far overboard in counting on the general's support. Would you not agree?
I think that's exactly right. The general started his news conference today by saying he's seen a flap an hour since he's been out here, adding that he can't see any possible misinterpretation of his stand, that 14 months ago he took the position that he would support no one or be against anyone, and that after 14 months, to quote Mr. Eisenhower, "I don't see how I could change now." There was a feeling for a time this morning that he was backing Governor Scranton and Scranton's stand on civil rights. But he says now that having had the civil rights plank in the platform explained to him by the platform chairman, Melvin Laird, that he is satisfied with the language the way it stands.
Actually, if there is anything to put Mr. Eisenhower on one side or the other, I get the general impression that this today, this half hour we've just heard, is a victory for the Goldwater forces.
Well, it would certainly seem that way. Certainly it was no loss to the Goldwater forces, and that in turn is a victory because the senator is far out in front, and it has been said all along that unless there were a minor miracle, Mr. Scranton was in trouble, and one of the miracles they were hoping for was open and forthright support by the general.
Surely those who were counting on that support apparently now will have to play another game or at least try to get that support from some other direction, because it just isn't going to come from General Eisenhower.
That's certainly the way it seems to me.
Actually, it seems that the civil rights fight, which also was to have been joined by General Eisenhower, to go by some of the Scranton people's statements, that too is just about dead if they were counting on General Eisenhower. He apparently will not come out strongly in any of the civil rights or any of the other platform debates.
One other point, Senator Goldwater has been criticized on the issue of control of nuclear armaments, and I thought the general's statement that he made just now was, by indirection, a support for the Goldwater position. He said no one can make the determination at this time whether control of tactical nuclear weapons in the field, specifically in Europe, should be controlled by the White House or by the commanders in the field.
Actually, the only thing that I spotted in which the general disagreed with the 1964 Republican platform, as it will be presented tomorrow evening, is that he says he does not support the move to amend the Constitution to allow school prayers. That is in the platform. That may be changed. But other than that, I would consider what we have just heard, whether it's not it's not exactly an endorsement of Goldwater, at least it ends the hope of any of the Scranton people that they're going to get support from the general to push their cause.
I don't have an accurate tally, but it seemed to me that at least half the questions asked, by one means or another, tried to draw the general out in some manner of support for either Scranton or Goldwater, and Mr. Eisenhower carefully sidestepped any comment to that effect.
This Republican Convention special report was brought to you by the Gulf Oil Corporation and more than 30,000 Gulf dealers. We'll return to NBC's coverage of the Republican Convention at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
This is the NBC Radio Network.